You are listening to the Drawn to Comics podcast about a couple of guys that are just drawn to comics. My name is Russ.
And my name's Ken.
We're at Bitsy Mama's, the Mexican restaurant across the street from Ken's shop, Drawn to Comics, the comic book store in downtown Glendale, where he just hosted an amazing free comic book day event.
Oh my gosh, dude. It was an amazing day. Every year I get that little, what I call freshman first day of school jitters.
Ooh.
The night before and say like, okay, is everything going to go right? Is this something that's going to be like, am I forgetting anything? Do I have my pencils? Do I have my books? Do I have my class schedule?
Sure.
It's like that. Do I know when my friends are going to meet me for lunch type of thing? Right. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And that is like totally free comic book day for me every year, because every year we try to up it a little bit more. And sometimes I go to myself, it's like, oh my gosh, dude. It's like, how am I going to do it any better than what we did the previous year? And it's like, is it worth taking the extra time to spend all this extra effort to try to make this day so special? And then
the day's special right off the bat because you're giving away free comics.
Yes.
And really, that's all you have to do. Mm-hmm. But you add these layers of entertainment and artist interactivity and community outreach. It takes it to, like you said, a completely different level.
Yeah, and each year, I don't know how it happens, but each year at the end of the day, I'm going, oh my gosh, dude.
Somebody's table is about to get bust.
It's like circus elephants going in the background there.
That's right, we are at Bitsy Mama's, so you're going to hear the background noise of restaurant life.
Yes.
But it's like you're sitting here at the breakfast table with us. That's what the Drawn to Comics podcast is like. We're bringing you in to a retailer and an artist just having a conversation about their passion,
yep.
Comic books. Anyway.
And if that's the worst thing I made, in California, they would have called that an earthquake. Here, you're in an earthquake-free zone.
Absolutely.
So you get all the noise and all the fun of hearing an earthquake-type element going in the background, yet all the safety of knowing that we're going to be okay.
It's almost like it's Universal Studios here. We're simulating backdraft, but you're not in a building fire.
We are okay. The fire department does not need to be called at this moment.
So what were you saying, man? You were talking about free comic book day.
Yes, I mean, each day it's high expectations for myself and for the community that I want to make it like this is the celebration of the industry and the hobby and the life that we make for ourselves on a daily basis.
Very cool.
And it is just an amazing opportunity that Shop in California started back in the early 2000s to emulate Free Ice Cream Scoop Day.
That's right. So the origins of Free Comic Book Day really trace back to Baskin-Robbins giving away free scoops.
And the guy saw people lined up around his shopping center complex for a free scoop of ice cream.
Wow. I forgot about that.
Yes, and he goes like that, man, I wonder if we could do the same type of thing with the comic shop here.
Mm.
And so he advertised and marketed a free comic book day where he got rid of some of his extra overstock, I presume, because there was no free comic book day comics back in that day, because he was the forefather of free comic book day, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
And it went over really well. And he pitched the idea to Diamond and said, hey, how do you think the publishers would feel about creating exclusive free comic book day comics like we can hand out as comic shops?
Yeah.
He sent him all the pictures, obviously all probably a stats list of everything that happened that day.
Sure.
The concept that Baskin-Robbins did, and how can we emulate this?
Wow.
And Diamond started talking to some of the publishers about the idea, and the big ones were in right away.
Marvel. Absolutely.
And DC and Image were saying, let's give this a shot. A couple other small press, publishers got on board for that first free comic book day, and there was, at the most eight comics.
Okay.
And the comic shops have to pay for the comics, obviously, as well.
Sure.
But they're usually in the range of 15 to at the most 40 cents a piece.
Oh, really?
It's the price that we have to pay for the free comics.
Okay.
And so, Free Comic Book Day 2002 was born, the same year that Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man came out.
Is that right?
It appealed with the fact of, hey, the first weekend of May kicks off the movie season.
Yeah.
And Free Comic Book Day became a staple since 2002.
Wow.
Now, this past year, there was 53 different comics that we could order with the Free Comic Book Day logo on it.
Mm-hmm.
There's local community comics like yourself with Amazing Arizona Comics that made Free Comic Book Day exclusives, which is even added bonus to the community.
Sure.
Because that makes this community special that no other city or country or anybody else contributing to Free Comic Book Day has. And so it makes uniqueness to the world of comics from the local creator level to the global level.
Wow.
Of you understand what the world of comics is about by coming into a comic shop and getting a free scoop of ice cream. Do you know what I mean? Which is comics in this case.
Ladies and gentlemen, if that doesn't deserve a slow clap, I don't know what else does. That beautiful wrap-up of the spirit and history of Free Comic Book Day.
Well, thank you. It's a special day. I said, too, it's comic Christmas is what I like to call it.
Sure,
do you mean? It's like that. You don't have to do anything to get the gifts.
Right.
Do you mean you just have to be curious and you have to have loved ones in your community that care about you?
Well, what you have to do now is wait in line. Like you said, the Baskin-Robbins.
Yes.
Free scoop day. I remember I lived in Southern California when this all started, so I
nice.
Remember that. And I do remember my first free comic book day too. I went to I want to say it was called Cornerstone or Corner Store Comics in Fullerton, California, and they primarily offered subscription comics via mail at the time. If I remember this correctly, it was kind of like a more of a warehouse with just a little retail space in the front. But I had heard that it was Free Comic Book Day, and that shop opened about an hour earlier than the other shops did.
Oh, wow.
So, 10 a.m., yes. I went to acquire one of those first 8 comics.
Nice.
And became a tradition ever since. I mean, it was just such a cool feeling to walk into the comic book store. There were the little stacks, and they were kind of excited that I knew what was going on. There weren't a lot of people there, you know? So, and that's since become this amazing thing where now you wait in line. And there are festivals.
You get actors doing videos promoting it.
Unbelievable.
I mean, it's really, I apologize, I didn't mean to cut you off. There's this thing like the same line is like so many people have embraced the Free Comic Day concept.
Right.
And I said too, like, I gotta admit too, is like there's a lot of people that more or less critique the business practices of Diamond Comics Distribution.
What?
Exactly, dude. We've had conversations like that before. But if there is one thing that they got the marketing team and the right concept for of making comic books celebrated, it's this and now Halloween Comic Fest they do later
sure.
in a year too.
Sure.
And those are the best versions of advertising or marketing or exposure to an industry that a participant as a retailer that works under their distribution
right.
can ask for.
Well, you know what? When you go to Costco on Sundays, they give away free samples.
Yes.
If you sit at a Starbucks on the right day, they'll walk around with little sample cups or cut up pastries and offer free samples of new things that are coming out. You go to a bar and you ask for a beer, they might offer you a taste before you commit to the full
yes.
the full pint. Getting something for free isn't an outrageous concept in the marketplace. In fact, nowadays, as people get more free content on the internet, it's almost becoming a demand that I get to try something first
yes.
before I commit to it financially. Give me a little taste. Give me a little sample.
Prove it.
And comic,
to me. Yes.
Yeah, prove it. And comics were ahead of the curve with Free Comic Book Day in that regard.
Absolutely.
There's
free record shop day now.
Absolutely.
I mean,
yes,
it's like
yes.
there's, I'm sure there'll be free stamp day coming up down the road, obviously.
For stamp collectors.
Yes.
I mean.
Do you
okay,
know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah, dude. You know, like that. Free anything that gives you a sample.
You get to take a car on a test drive before you buy it.
Yes, absolutely.
You get to drive
dude.
The car.
There's people that let you keep their car for a week now.
Sure.
That see, like, whether you like it. And then
sure.
if you do, it's like, great, then let's go sign, finish the paperwork. The car's yours.
Right.
But then it's, you know, if you don't, then okay, cool. You know, you got to sample the car. Imagine someone that's smart enough to go from dealer to dealer. So, you know, I'll try for 7 days. You never have to buy a car again.
Oh, you got a good point there, my friend.
You know what I mean?
I might be able to live a year off of
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they start doing, like, reports on, okay, this guy right here, if he walks into your dealership, he's not going to buy.
This guy was at Chevy last week. Now he's at Ford.
Dude,
now he's
got,
at Chrysler.
He's
no,
driving 52 different cars in 1 year. What's going on here?
Ballin', but it's true. The concept of trying it before you commit to it is a part of capitalist culture nowadays. So, like, the comics, again, establish that with this. And I think it's great. I think it's a lesson for artists, too.
Yes.
You know, if the big industry is willing to take a chance and practically give these books away, you as the retailer are still buying them. But people are taking a loss on this, I presume, generally speaking. To sell a comic for 15 to 50 cents is, you know, at cost at best, I assume, right?
Yes,
so,
that's an advertising expense.
Right,
you know, for
it's exactly
at,
right.
At all levels. I'd rather give my money for Free Comic Book Day, even though, once again, we have to buy the comics.
Right.
But where else? If I threw this money at New Times, I can't guarantee people are going to come in my shop by seeing that ad. If I get a TV commercial, I can't guarantee the people that even see the commercial are going to care about wanting to come in my store.
Absolutely.
Radio commercials, same thing. I mean, there's nothing social media. Yeah, you can put your money into Facebook and advertise this event was even taking place, but it doesn't mean that person's walking in your store.
Absolutely.
These are people that are walking in your store to get something for free that's in your store.
Yeah.
That's in your local library. That's in your local community.
Mm-hmm.
That is part of what you do on a day-to-day basis. Nothing can guarantee that.
And I think,
you know, if we have to buy 3,000 to 4,000 comics to make sure that happens,
sure,
that's an advertising expense that pays back right away.
And I think artists often forget the need for advertising expense. They think publishing the books, making the prints, you know, whatever product you have out there on display, not even just comic book artists, artists in general, you know, that are trying to get a gallery show, that are in a gallery show and so on. Your opening night means nothing if you haven't printed those little glossy 5x7 flyers that I could find anywhere that get people there to opening night. I mean, it is a necessity.
Yep.
You know, I was thinking about this over the weekend, too, as I did a couple events on Friday and Saturday. I didn't take as many pictures as I wish I did because the events were busy. And I thought to myself, man, what a burden it is to be the guy that is making the product, then has to sell and advertise the product, set up the table, and on top of that, while the event is going on and I'm trying to engage with passersby to make them fans, make them customers, I got to take pictures along the way so I can put this on social media after the fact, or sometimes even during the event, just to prove that it's happening, to prove I have some viability as an artist, to build that street cred, maybe get a couple followers out of it. Like, I need roadies.
Yes.
I need a team if you want to do it right.
And every creator should be finding a way to make that happen, too.
You have
to. At these events. Because I said, too, that's not only happening or helping the venue, that's helping you. That's helping every other artist around you.
Yeah.
It's just, it's called, what I like to say, is called synergy.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? That's how successful communities and businesses become successful, is the synergy of the people around them.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? If you have someone that doesn't have that same vision and goal, how are you going to be able to reach your max potential?
Yeah.
Because you need everybody being in that same synergetic mindset.
Synergetic.
Yes. I'm sorry. Nice. I'm going to throw out some big words. And I'm pretty awesome.
That's nice.
I took out my dictionary before the show.
You can't spell synergetic without energetic.
Yes.
You got to be energetic. I don't know.
And you need that. No, absolutely.
Tony Robbins over here.
Yeah. And it is that energy that will make that day the most memorable day ever.
Right.
And luckily, we've got a lot of synergy that happens on Free Comic Book Day. It's still not the synergetic mushroom that it could still become.
Sure.
But it is.
No event ever will be.
No. And
you're
never
going to pull off a perfect event.
Yes.
But what I'm saying to my fellow artists is, once you set up that table, it's not time to slump your shoulders and rest.
Get out there and be excited about what you do.
Yeah, and I've seen a lot of artists, they set up the table, they sit down, and they think it's, now I can enjoy the show.
I've accomplished it.
But yeah, that's the beginning.
Yes.
You know, you've set up the stage, now it's time to perform. You know what I mean? Just because you set up the sound system and turn the lights on, that doesn't, there's a show to be had. So, yeah, I think that's what creates the synergy, and that it creates a successful event like you've had for the last, 15 years? Did you do Free Comic Book Day right out of the gate?
Yeah, 2005, before the doors were even open. The May, I can't remember which, once again, first Saturday, May, so go back to 2005, May, somewhere between the 1st and the 7th because of the 7 days of the week.
Very good, yes. That's a logical assumption there.
There, we were still setting up painting. I had the glass cases up.
Yeah.
And luckily, I had my Diamond account already set up.
Wow.
And I didn't have new books coming, but I could order the free comics.
So you did a Free Comic Book Day before the shop was even open?
Yep. I remember kids coming in on skateboards. And do you know what I mean? Like, hey, what's going on here? Oh, dude,
kids coming in on skateboards.
Yeah, dude. Well,
I remember Street Toughs coming in. And
it was West Side Story. It was amazing. I said, hey, kids, there's a comic. Stop your fighting. Look what Spider-Man, how he handled things. Peter Parker, with great power and great skateboards, comes great responsibility. Get those wheels greased up. And you guys are going to just be put the grease in the hair, put the grease in the skates.
Oh, my God.
And we are going to unify this community through the animated word.
Storyboarded. Cool, I didn't know that. I didn't know about that.
Yeah, and there was like kids from the neighborhood that were coming in and, you know, said, hey, dude, we're opening a comic shop. They said, what's Morris? I guess they start with, what's going on here? And they go, today's free comic day. It's a national holiday, and I'm not quite open yet, but I'll be open here by the end of the month. And here's some free comics. Check them out. It's on us. And I hope you enjoy the day. And we look forward to seeing you again.
What a great way to start the store, dude. Yeah, you had, it like, was fun. That was your issue zero.
Yes. It was zero issue. I didn't think about that. Absolutely. Yeah, dude. That was, it was kind of like, it was a fun welcoming to the community. Free Comic Day helped, once again, be that springboard to let people know there's a comic shop in the area.
Now, we're talking about how comics have attracted a larger audience. We're talking about marketing. That leads me to discuss with you one of the biggest movies of our lifetime that's just come out.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
And, of course, I'm talking about A Dog's Journey.
Yes, it's coming out. Dude,
no spoilers.
There was a great group of breeds that I've never seen assemble that one time as an ensemble. You had your Cocker Spaniel. You had your Shih Tzu. You had your Dalmatians. You had your Pekingese.
No spoilers.
Oh, my
man.
Gosh, dude. Don't if there spoil the was journey. A better assembly of amazing animals at one time in a film, dude, get your recliner, get your popcorn, make sure you reserve your seats. A Dog's Journey, the bears, the bobcats, the tigers, the squirrels, the little beetles roaming through the forest, the trees, the leaves, how they fell so cinematically.
Oh, my
gosh, dude. The floating, it was like in slow-mo, like it was coming out of a Michael Bay movie.
Yeah, I don't know if you're doing free verse poetry right now or what, dude.
It's all off the top of my head. I haven't even seen the movie. I apologize, guys. Go see
it. Well, it hasn't come out yet,
actually. Okay, great.
That's why I...
I was going to say, I hope I didn't miss out on this blockbuster.
I'm going to start a meme today, don't spoil the journey. And I'm going to have a picture of the poster up. No, but here's the funny thing about Endgame is everywhere I've gone, I have found the five people that haven't seen it.
Are you serious?
In public discourse, having conversations.
Dude, some people have seen it like five times.
I've seen it twice. Wow. You've seen it one time?
I've seen it one time. I need to go see it for the second time. I've got a guilty omission or admission here. My daughter went to Orlando for a DECA conference the same week that Endgame came out.
Oh.
And so admission time, me and Susan went to see it on our own without her.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I got to go see it again. So Kayla, the
somebody,
you know,
called,
I mean,
Child Protective Services.
That's what
this
I'm saying,
is
too.
Outrageous.
Yeah, I'm kind of afraid CPS would be knocking on my door. It's like, what do you mean your daughter to go see Endgame with you? What kind of parent are you? Go. She's seen every other Avengers movie of the past 11 years. She's 17 now. You started when she was in first grade. You can't finish it. You can't finish it when she's 11.
Isn't that crazy to think about? Your daughter was 7 when this started. Now
yes.
She's 17. She went from being a child to a young woman.
It's insane.
In the span of these movies.
Yes, and that's what blows me away too, is like that I've grown up, my daughter's grown up with the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
You were in your 30s when
yes.
it started.
Oh, yeah, dude. Oh, man. Yes. I was still in the 30s. Yes, dude. Yeah, it's let the world be known that I'm hitting the big 4-5 in a few weeks, May 23rd, which is the start of Phoenix Fan Fusion.
Oh, wow.
Yes, and so I don't know if I'll be there on my birthday there or not, but it's interesting. So I think about May 23rd, I'm going, that's kind of cool. It's also Red Nose Day.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, I was over at a Walgreens with a buddy the other day, and at their register, would you like to donate to a Red Nose, $2? I go, sure, I want a Red Nose, and... You know, it's Susan.
Give you a fifth of whiskey, and it was like, this will get your nose red.
Exactly, dude. But it was kind of like Red Nose, I guess, is donations towards helping kids. That,
yeah, kind of that Patch Adams thing is what I remember it starting there with Patch Adams. Yeah.
And so, but it was kind of cool. May 23rd is, kind of a 45. I don't believe I'm 45, but I guess the calendar shows.
Well, first of all, you don't look
it. Thank you.
And you don't act it.
Thank you.
And I mean that. I don't know. I don't know what 45 acts like.
I'm
but,
still trying to get to that 15 acting.
So, what did you think of Endgame? I mean, we're going to...
I thought it was
spoiler,
miraculous.
We're obviously into spoilers here.
Yeah, I like that. It's been out for more than 10 days. You had 10 plenty opportunities. To, actually, yeah, it'll be 14 days this Thursday, right?
Right, 14 days and $2 billion later.
Dude, so far, bye-bye Titanic, dude. I hate saying it. You're destined to sink. And it's... You can't stop it, dude. You had a great run. James Cameron still, by far, no disrespect to James Cameron, the best producer of all time. But that just shows, I'm honored as a comic book fan to see 22 movies later what everyone says, when's the shark going to jump? And it's passing the best movies of all time, right. Which Titanic is one of the best movies of all time because the numbers proved it. And once again, dude, they try to economically scale the economies towards.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? It's like
so
that.
You're saying they did kind of the conversion rate from yeah, the early I'm pretty 90s sure. to today.
Yeah, it's like that. It's
that. And Endgame still beats it.
Absolutely. Isn't that how that works more or less too? They kind of compare it towards economic inflation of how many tickets were sold rather than how much revenue of that time frame it made.
What was 1998's dollar compared to today's dollar kind of thing, right?
Yeah, I don't know if that's true or not, but I presume that's what they do. Okay,
yeah,
cool. Just making
that.
Sure on
you
that.
You gotta take into account too that the nature of the movie theater has changed with IMAX and 3D and Dolby and all this other the fact that many movie theaters are also restaurants and bars now you can get food there and stuff like that, so it creates a wider attraction, you know, to be there.
To that same argument though too as well. I'm sorry, dude, is that the fact that there's so many more options to get entertainment now.
Very
you have your Netflix, you have your Hulu, you have everything in your phone right now that is forms of entertainment. That where the movie theater is not your number one focus anymore.
Sure, sure.
Do you know what I mean? And then to still, and Titanic back in the 1990s, there was no social media.
There's
no Hulu, there's no Netflix, there is just your cable TV, you know, there's your movie theater, there's maybe your video game arcade that you can go to back then. Because was it 1993, 1994, Titanic?
Titanic, I feel like, was late 90s. I might have been.
Okay, so maybe
high school.
So maybe it was a little bit later than I thought.
Yeah.
But then, you know, you had your pool halls, you had things to do that were fun, and you still do.
Talking about skateboarding punks and pool halls.
I'm sorry, dude, here. But it's just like that. It was a different era where movie theaters were more focused for entertainment.
Yeah.
And now, today's, you know, world, there is so many other options to do for fun.
Yeah.
And Endgame is still blowing that all out of the water. The 22nd movie, not the first ever Marvel movie. This is the end game. This is the last tie-up. You could have got burnout by now. We didn't.
Sure.
We broke all the records. It was awesome. I'm sorry. I don't mean to, like, you know, nail down that point, but I was pretty excited about that.
And a lot of movie files, cinema files, whatever you want to call movie fans of cinema.
How many James Bond movies are breaking records still?
Right, and they're up to 25.
Yes.
Well, none, but they're still making them.
They're awesome, but that's because there's a demand for them.
There's a demand
And there's a demand for these Marvel movies, but there's more than demand. Well, there is a femur or whatever, it's like there's
a fever
for it.
The
thank
femur
you.
Is the
yes,
leg
it's
bone.
It's got a leg bone
it's
of
got
how
a leg up.
It's got a dog that won't stop chewing on a cow bone.
Well, and you were talking about Marvel movies exclusively. We're not talking about the other superhero movies like the DCEU.
They're not touching them,
right? But I'm saying that like that superhero fatigue.
I guess
is it just the result of 22 movies.
Yes.
It's the result of probably about 50 movies that have come out since Iron Man in 2008, where other studios have tried to kind of. And then you have like peripheral superhero movies too, where you know Universal tried to start that Dark Universe or whatever with Tom Cruise and the Mummy, and that didn't pay off as strongly as they wanted it to at all. So you know you have all of these peripheral ideas in addition to that. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
As I do, I'm just in awe about how.
Well, what I was going to say too is these
it's
movies
still growing, which is I guess is what the point is.
The cinema files that at this point have expressed superhero fatigue or whatever. What I think a good historical comparison is, you know, back in the early 40s, 50s, even going into the 60s. Every other movie made was a Western.
Yes.
That genre, I think I literally read 2 out of 5 movies at the time.
Was a Western.
Were Westerns.
Wow.
And then the other 3 movies out of that 5 were probably what we would call now romantic comedies or something that kind of appealed, kind of a drama or dramedy and a romantic thing or whatever, internationally. You know, those old sappy
And now
sappy
we get
movies.
Animals getting lost.
Right. And now it's 1 out of every 5 movies is about a dog getting reincarnated. But, no, seriously, you have cowboy movies that were made for a very defined period of time, and yes, there was an oversaturation, and yes, they eventually waned in popularity, but, you know, to say that Robert Downey Jr. is our John Wayne isn't a stretch, because he is starring in these successful movies that really teeter on how much is too much, and we haven't gone over the edge yet.
And the thing, too, is Robert Downey Jr. is done with it now. right?
Well, presumably, sure.
Yeah, unless they do like flashback type of things.
Flashbacks, or, holograms, there's all sorts of stuff.
That's true, they can do with them. That's a good point. Do it. And people aren't tired of them at all.
No, nobody's tired. It's kind of like the Dick Van Dyke Show or Seinfeld, where you leave when you're on top.
Yes.
And, you know, these guys aren't getting any younger, unfortunately. Unlike comics, time is an issue where you can't, you know, they were able to shave off a few years with that technology and Civil War and stuff like that. But, you know, these guys are only getting older, and you can't tell a young Tony Stark story without recasting. And at that point, is it worth it to possibly disconnect the audience? Because we love these people as those characters as much as we love those characters now. I can't imagine another Captain America that isn't played by Chris Evans. I mean, I can imagine a Falcon becoming Captain America like we've seen.
Yes.
But I can't imagine like somebody being Steve Rogers and it's not Chris Evans.
I heard like someone put like an interesting analogy to that. If like that you were to change the actors, it would almost be like trying to compare like when it happens regularly in comics when you get a new artist on board.
Oh yeah, I could see
it's
that.
It's like that where it's okay. It's still, as long as they stay true to the character.
Sure.
Think of the actors John Byrne after Dave Cockrum.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean? As long as it's got that same feel, or even makes you even like it a little bit more because you weren't expecting to like it more. Like for instance, Ed Norton's already happened.
Right.
And with
War Machine.
Yeah, War Machine Cheadle. Too. Yep, Don Cheadle is like the character transition. As long as you stay true to your script and not try to change the script to affect that actor, I think you do pretty well with that transition, hopefully in the long term.
Well, and it's always interesting, when they rebooted Spider-Man twice, I just thought it was so intriguing that they kept, and same with Batman, actually. Let me go back further a little bit. You have the four movies that were essentially the Tim Burton universe. Yes. And then it goes into the Joel Schumacher universe. Yeah.
The 66 modern day Batman.
Right. I mean, I look at those four movies as kind of an exploratory cinematic look at, you know, 1939 to 1966 Batman.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Where the first one is 30s, 40s. The second one's kind of a 40s, 50s pre-code. And then once you get, you know, where you have a really sexy Catwoman.
Yes.
And then once you get into Batman Forever, you're kind of post-code, 50s, 60s. You might as well be on another world up when you're on that Riddler Island thing. And then by the time you get to Batman and Robin, it's just...
It's modern-day Batman, in their opinion.
Well, it's 66.
It's all together.
It's
okay.
All camp, even with the inclusion of Batgirl at that point. It's just like the TV show. But then when they rebooted to... Christopher Nolan's trilogy, you know, the plan for Batman 5, Batman Triumphant, it would have been called, included the Scarecrow.
Oh, really?
And maybe Ra's al Ghul. So I always think it's interesting when they reboot, they still keep the villains. Like, when they rebooted Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man into Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man, Spider-Man 4 with Tobey Maguire was going to have the Lizard in it because we had seen Kirk Connors in those other three movies. So... when you introduce Andrew Garfield and reboot the whole thing and start the story over, they still keep the skeleton of that original concept of the Lizard. It's almost as if, while they reboot the hero, they're almost afraid to reboot a villain as well, because it might really confuse an audience. You don't get that until Heath Ledger's Joker, where they reintroduce a villain we had seen before, and now in such a dramatically different way than what Jack Nicholson was. So, you know, it's not as jarring, and you realize this is a completely different concept, you know. But to do that in this Marvel Cinematic Universe would be sacrilege now. There is no reboot. If anything, you could just use time travel and a multiverse concept to do it. But
that's what's great about, I think, the Marvel Universe, is that the 616 universe, starting way back in Fantastic Four number one, has stayed consistent in the Marvel Universe. Even though people say, oh, there's Marvel now, there's Secret Wars reboot, I'm going, well, technically, yes, they're soft reboots, but everything that ever happened in their storytelling from 1961, Fantastic Four number one, is still recognized as part of that same continuity.
In fact, you have writers like Bendis that go back and like mine those characters from panels. Now all of a sudden that was Jessica Jones in Peter Parker's high school class. You know what I mean? So you get those interesting...
If they stay true to their universe.
Yeah.
And I think the Marvel Cinematic Universe is going to do the same thing.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is the end of the first three phases, but it's not the end of their story. It's just that storyline's complete storyline versus universe build.
Well, and what's crazy is you have Endgame was obviously a movie about legacies, where some characters were able to revisit their parents.
Yes.
Steve was obviously able to get back to Peggy, who was a love interest and a mentor.
Yes.
You know, so you get all that going on. But then you also have this next generation where Ant-Man's daughter and Hawkeye's daughter and Iron Man's daughter, of course, they're all daughters. And then a young Peter Parker.
Yes.
These are all
kid that was an Iron Man 3 came
kid,
back in the
Iron
picture.
Iron Man 3.
Yeah.
Could end up suiting up.
Yes.
And how crazy would that be to realize, okay,
young Avengers are right there.
Subtly presented at the end of Endgame, you know, like, we have a next generation ready to go.
Yes.
And it's just crazy to the kid, what's her name from Captain Marvel, too?
Yes. Monica Rambeau.
Yeah.
Or Rambeau. Or
yeah.
The daughter of her best friend.
Right.
From the Air Force
days. Get
that
baton passed over to her. And, you know, so.
Yes.
In 20 years from now, we could be having the same feeling about those characters passing a baton to another
generation.
And it would all trace back to Iron Man 2008.
It's insane.
And they could do it.
Yep. So. Yeah, I said too, like, Iron Man 2008 is the Fantastic Four number one in the cinematic universe.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And it's absolutely awesome to see. Like I said too, there was Timely and there was Atlas and Marvel finally doing what they're doing now.
Yeah.
And it could kind of consider the fact of, like, you know, that the 1970s TV series, like the Spider-Man, the Incredible Hulk, you know, the failed Captain America movie, the
sure.
failed Fantastic Four movie.
Sure.
Some of those were successful. Incredible Hulk was the Captain America. Do you know what I mean? It's like Timely had a very successful run. Captain America, the Spider-Man, you know, kind of like the Invaders back in the Golden Age where it's like it was there, but it wasn't quite as successful.
Yep.
And then some of the other stuff was just mud on the wall.
Sure.
It didn't stick too well at that time. And then, you know, we jump forward to the 1990s, and I consider Spider-Man, Tobey Maguire era to be part of that, where he had Blade, hit. And he had the X-Men hit successfully.
Yep.
And you had, the Punisher, not the Dolph Lundgren one, because that was kind of like, I would say part of that, you know, that late Timely era.
you know
what I mean, dude?
Sure.
It's like last-ditch efforts of the Timely era before they became
Ang
Atlas.
Ang Lee's Hulk is in there.
Yeah, Ang Lee's Hulk in the Atlas age. And then, like, Iron Man started the Marvel age of cinematic movies.
Absolutely.
Of what we're experiencing now. And it's like, hey, this is it. This is what's going to be the flag bearer for our cinematic universe going forward.
It's amazing. These are my stories.
Just as
my mom watched Days of Our Lives when
exactly
I was a kid.
Do.
These are my stories. I go to this thing like church, and I love going on opening night. We bought our tickets in advance.
Nice.
Because I had heard the rumors that these things were selling out. We go to a theater in downtown Phoenix that is always empty. We go to the Arizona Center.
Yes.
Probably shouldn't even say that here because now folks might start going. But yeah, it's never packed. I mean, we've seen every opening night Marvel movie there.
Wow,
for
I gotta
years.
Remember that, yeah.
And, you know, you'll get a 3/4 full, but you'll never get a full theater just because it's in the heart of downtown, so you gotta pay to park and all this jazz. But, man, we saw it there Thursday night, and then we went back on Saturday on a whim. So we didn't pre-purchase tickets on Saturday. We just showed up. We ended up sitting in the second row.
Wow.
So, you know, we're craning our necks up. And I'm telling you, the trash probably hadn't been taken out from
the
Thursday night we were there. The trash cans are overflowing. The bathrooms were gross. And I'm saying that just to say that these theaters probably were not prepared.
Yes.
Oh,
absolutely.
The line for popcorn.
Yes.
I was like, I couldn't believe it.
It was.
I went to that, you know, machine where you could get like a peach Coke. They can
make anything
now. I pressed the regular Coke, plain Coke button, out of Coca-Cola.
Wow.
Out of Coca-Cola. Can you imagine
a world
where there's no more Coke?
I can almost top that with you real quick
here.
Yesterday, I don't understand quite the connection, but I'll let it play out. Okay. It's I get off of work, so I came into work yesterday after Free Comic Book Day to make sure, because one of our other employees usually just works one weekend day, and she worked Free Comic Book Day, which was awesome, because that's obviously
the
highlight
day
of the year.
Black Friday.
But, you know, she's got her own family, and I said, hey, you know, I'll work Sunday, that since you're coming to work on Saturday. And so we got out of there on the way home at 7:30, and, you know, me and Jason worked yesterday.
Okay.
And I stopped by Walmart because Jason was talking about these new art tables that he's using.
Oh, really?
And I said they would work great for Susan for, you know, doing a laptop and doing work. Like, she can take, you know, the work desk anywhere she wants.
Cool.
Anywhere she wants. So I stopped by. He said Walmart and Target have them. So I stopped by Walmart, pick one up on my way home. And it was not super busy, but it looked like a tornado went through there. I kind of like picked up a couple of groceries. I went down the chip aisle. The chip aisle looks like it was just freaking, it was dusted. Like Thanos snapped his fingers and all the chips
and
were
all
gone.
The tortillas disappeared.
Yeah, and I'm going, oh, I get it. It's Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo.
And I'm kind of going, man, I start thinking about barbecue and I go, oh, we don't have a barbecue at home right now. Flame broiled Whoppers. It's a Burger King right outside. That's as close as I'm going to get tonight.
To a carne asada.
Exactly, dude.
A Whopper.
That's sad. And so I don't know why, but Whoppers came in my mind when I started thinking about barbecue. And so not Del Taco, you know, not Philly Bertos, but Burger King for whatever reason. And usually Burger King does not really react well with me.
Oh.
But for whatever reason, I wanted Burger King because I was thinking on the way home, it's like, I don't want to cook when I get home. But I want to go and get that table. And, of course, I get a little bit of grocery shopping too. But I don't want to eat any of this right now because I'll have to make it. So let me go through the Burger King line because it's right in that same plaza. And I go up through the drive-through, and I say, you know, damn, that bacon and cheese Whopper looks freaking awesome. I haven't had a Whopper probably in about 3 years for some reason because
wow.
Burger King unfortunately stopped working well with my stomach, and I don't know why, but sometimes you just get that stupid craving
for
something you haven't had in a while. And
yep.
I said, gosh, you know what? Let me get Kale and Susan like their chicken sandwiches. So let me get 2 chicken sandwiches, no fries, just the sandwich.
Okay.
And let me get a bacon and cheese Whopper. And I go, we're out of Whopper meat tonight? And I'm kind of going, you're out of Whopper meat? Well, how does that happen? I just messed up my whole story, so I apologize. I wasn't going to say names of restaurants. Burger King, you're great. Don't get me wrong. You know, I love your new menu. Everything looked great, but what does Cinco de Mayo have to do with Whoppers?
That story doesn't exist without the line, we're out of Whopper meat.
I'm going, I go, what meat do you have left? He goes, we got the junior meat and we got chicken. And I go, this is Burger King, right? And I go, yeah, it's like that. Oh boy, I already committed to the 2 chicken sandwiches for Kayla and Susan. Let me get your universal chicken sandwich and some onion rings. And do you want anything to drink? And I'm going, no, it's already past that point. And so I'm like, I've never felt more disappointed to get a fast food meal ever in my life. And I felt so bad. I felt like that I'm just a sucker that's still continuing through this drive-through line because I'm committed. I can't off-road out of the area. I'm committed to this.
Right.
I got to pay for this chicken sandwich now that I really didn't want. At least, you know, Susan and Kayla are getting what they want. And I felt like I never felt like a petulant child so much in my life.
Wow.
Towards feeling like that. I'm forced to do something I don't want to do, but I don't want to be a petulant child.
Sure.
And say, smell you later, guys. You didn't have any Whopper meat. But I'm kind of going, I've never experienced anything like that. How can you, do you know what I mean? It'd be like, I don't know how, Sue says, well, we run out of bags and boards at times, but yeah, dude, but we're not called Bags and Boards King.
Bags and Boards King.
You know what I mean?
They had other burgers available. But
that's true.
It's interesting that they identify it as Whopper meat. And not beef.
Can't you put 2 junior burger things together with your hands and make me a Whopper size burger? And I go, that's right, it's fast food. Don't, you know, everything's cut and pasted, ready to go.
Right. It comes,
Whopper meat
comes Whopper sized and that's it.
But it kind of, I don't know, it was hard. I don't want to be discouraged from ever supporting any type of business, but that was kind of hard to.
It makes me wonder if they were out of junior Whopper meat. Would they have cut a large Whopper, a standard Whopper, into a junior Whopper?
Probably not. I don't know. You know, that's against code, man. It's like we got that extra. That's wastage. We can't put them together. Like you imagine 3 little slices of Whopper meat.
Yeah. What would you do with
the extra excess
ring that exists when you remove the center equivalent of a junior Whopper size out?
Yeah, and I thought it was like, you know, flame broiled, fresh to order, make to order. I guess maybe not.
Wow.
I don't know. It was kind of weird. I'm going, you just like lifted the curtain behind of the fact of like, I'm going to go to a Burger King and they may not have a Whopper meat for me.
This was your fast food endgame.
Yes. I felt like half a Burger King must have been dusted that day or something. It's like the Whopper meat's gone. I'm trying to think like, is it like, it's not 4th of July. You know, Cinco de Mayo, I'm thinking nachos are big, beer's big, you know, margaritas are big, but How do you not? Hey, dude, it's Cinco de Mayo week. We don't need as much meat.
Could be.
Do you know what I mean?
They
maybe.
Could be thinking, you know, this is Taco Bell's week.
Yeah.
Let's slow order on the Whopper meat.
Yeah, let's make sure we keep our numbers in order. But I was kind of like a little bit obliterated. I mean, I could totally, you know, Del Taco or, you know, Filiberto's. Yeah, it's Cinco de Mayo, dude. They're going to be out of stuff. I can see that. But I did not expect to see the king of Whoppers missing their slag, their
slogan.
Do you
think McDonald's is out of Big Mac meat?
That would
be my question.
I
think McDonald's has enough Big Mac meat.
I know, dude.
You're out of Whopper meat.
Yeah. And I'm kind of going, and then everything they branded themselves for that fall, because everything on their menu that's a normal size burger is almost a Whopper now.
Sure.
Except their discount menu.
Right.
And I was kind of going, wow, I feel, you know, part of me was like, man, dude, that sucks. And part of me was like, how do you not ever have enough Whopper meat?
I thought this was home of the Whopper.
Yeah.
So what you're telling me is the Whopper's not home.
No, the Whopper's on vacation.
The Whopper's on vacation.
Dude, they deserve, that's okay. That makes total sense
and
now,
Burger King.
And
the chicken sandwich
dude.
Is house-sitting
I believe you are now treating the Whopper with proper, you know, human traits of the fact of, like, everybody needs a vacation. Including Whopper meat.
Wow. Okay.
I guess. I don't know. I'm trying to justify this in my own head.
When
it's been a challenge to me.
When I start
too much thought into it,
I put. Well, maybe. But when I start my own garage band,
yes.
I'm going to call it Whopper
meat.
Exactly. And now coming to the stage, Whopper meat.
This concert's going to be a Whopper of one. Yeah, dude. I'm just gonna at least give me a chocolate malt ball or something, man. Can you give me something? You know what I mean?
Now, from Whoppers.
So I know, like, I can say the word Whopper and not feel it's trademarked. Because,
I don't think so.
Yeah, like, Whopper is, like, as I said, too, because if that was a case, I would be, like, you know, the chocolate candy company saying, yeah, Mr. King, you know what, that we're already a chocolate malted candy. What's that? You know? I don't know if you could use that that Whopper name yet. But so, I guess that's cool.
I realize,
like, Whopper hasn't been patented as a name.
No, I don't think so. I'll have to do a little, I'll have to go back and look at the exegesis of fast food terminology. But, yeah, I don't know if we called things Whoppers before Burger King made Whoppers.
Yeah,
you know,
probably.
Like, did we use the word Whopper as a description of big things before Burger King decided to call their sandwich
that? Yeah, because those chocolate candies were bigger than most chocolate candies.
Why are you saying that? Because there's a Whopper.
There's a Whopper candy. Have you heard of those? Whoppers?
The Whoppers?
Yeah, but they little chocolate candies with
malt
flavor.
Yeah, I don't know if that's
flavor.
The name of them. Whoppers?
I thought they were called Whoppers. Whoppers. Maybe because there's an S at the end of it.
I don't know.
Let me
see
here too. Yeah, they're not very popular anymore. They were only popular back.
You can get them at the movies for $8 a box.
Yeah,
but
am I wrong? Am I not remember those right?
We've said the word Whopper so much now that it's one of those things where it's like when you say water too much, you're like, that's a funny word.
Yeah,
water. You say it all the time.
I think we're going to probably get some royalty checks for both Burger King,
Whoppers,
both Burger King and the whatever company makes these chocolate Whoppers now.
So that word is not. Trademarked.
Yeah.
It just describes.
Yeah, there's no
big
TM
things.
Next to it or anything. I
yeah,
guess there.
And in this case, since the Whoppers are tiny, it's just a big. It's a big flavor.
Yes,
it packs a big punch when you eat it.
Dude, it's, man, have you ever dropped those like in a, you know, melt them and then put them in a milkshake?
Ooh,
it's so good. I mean, I love chocolate malts now because of these Whoppers.
Wow.
They go, I didn't know like that. When I first tried chocolate malt, this tastes like a Whopper. They go, yeah, that's where they got the flavor from, dumbass. Well, I'm dumb donkey. You know, I apologize, dude. And all donkeys that are dumb, I'm sorry, dumb donkeys. You know, you guys are an amazing animal. You do great things for society. But, you know, unfortunately, you must have not been very smart, or else they wouldn't call you guys dumbasses, donkeys.
I'm going to circle this back to the topic at hand from Whoppers to WonderCon. I'm just using the alliteration to create a transition.
No problem.
But you went there. You were
yes.
at WonderCon.
WonderCon's amazing. I love WonderCon. WonderCon, to me, is what I call San Diego Comic-Con light.
Mm.
Do you mean? Mm-hmm. Or if you want to go to, like, Coca-Cola terms, that sounds horrible, but San Diego Comic-Con Zero.
Coke Zero.
Yeah, dude, Coke Zero.
Sure, well, if San Diego Comic-Con's a Whopper, it's a Whopper Jr.
Yes.
Or a Rodeo Burger.
There we
Rodeo
go. Dude, it's like a Whopper Jr., dude. It's
okay.
It's got everything you want out of a con, yet half as amount of crowd, and half amount is Hollywood, which is ironic because it's an eye distance type of thing from Hollywood.
Why do you think it is so much smaller than San Diego? It's organized by the same people.
Yes.
It's in Southern California. It's in a cooler It's climate. The climate is literally cooler.
Yes.
So why do you think it is?
I think it's just San Diego's the granddaddy of it all. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like they started it all first. And it's SO2. It's like little brother. It's like that, you know, how would you say it? Like a Peyton Manning and Eli Manning.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Sure. It's the San Diego Comic Con and WonderCon. Like San Diego's Peyton Manning. And then, you know, the New York City Hall Comic Cons are back in New York City when they first started. It's your Archie Manning. Do you know what I mean? He got it going, but it never really took off to be quite as good as Peyton and Eli. Do you know what I mean? Like, Peyton's won 2 Super Bowls, Eli's won 2 Super Bowls, but Peyton's always going to be the Manning standard.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, Eli Manning's had some good runs. He's great in his own way, but he's not Big Brother Peyton.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? I don't know if that's a good analogy, but that just came to the top of my head there.
Sure. And, any memorable stories from WonderCon? Did you meet any creators? Or
yeah, dude, it's like that. I got a chance to talk with, oh my gosh, dude, it's horrible. He worked on Alpha Flight with Greg Pak when Fear Itself was going. Actually, it was Greg Pak.
Yes, dude,
Greg Pak.
Oh, cool.
Because
okay.
He said like that. I thought he was the main writer on it. And he goes, no, it was the other guy that actually, like, plotted it, and I just helped write it.
Yeah.
So that's, oh, dude, I'm a huge Alpha Flight fan. And it's like, I get to talk to someone that actually worked on Alpha Flight. That's not John Byrne. That's from Canada. and he goes, yeah, it's like that. I scripted it, but the other guy was more or less the plotter on it.
Oh, cool.
And
still
I go,
cool.
That's cool, dude. And I said, too, is like that. Yeah, dude, it's like, how many people come up and say, you know, how much they love your Alpha Flight work? He goes, oh, not many. But it was cool talking. He's a really nice guy and got to, you know, spend some good time talking about some of the work he's working on. My, Mech Cadet U. I keep on getting it confused with My Hero Academia because it sounds very close together in names. Yeah. But it's about a kid and a robot that are kind of a little bit of a flare of a Pacific Rim.
Okay.
With a kid, you know, having to unify with a robot or pilot a robot.
Oh, cool.
So it's kind of come over really well. It's done by Boom Studios right now, but it started off as his own indie thing, and then Boom picked it up.
Nice.
So that was kind of cool talking a little bit more about that. I got to talk to Dustin Nguyen.
Oh, cool.
He's an amazing guy, dude. I love his little Gotham stuff that he's done.
Absolutely.
And he obviously is working on Descender and Ascender.
Yeah.
Image titles that are very, very well received. And I think I want to say Descender got optioned, but it's still on a slow play to when it's going to actually either hit theaters or Netflix or Hulu or whatever they're doing with
it.
But
yeah.
I had a buddy that asked me to pick up a commission from him that was done by, I want to say it was Peter Nguyen. And he says, we're not related, all we're just buddies. But, you know,
they're both great artists.
Yeah, they're both awesome.
Yeah.
And my buddy had a commission of Azrael Batman done. Like,
ooh,
on one half was the Azrael Batman, on the other half was Azrael. It was the original look.
Yeah.
And Jean-Paul LaValle, is that Azrael's Secret Identity, if I'm remembering right, since they don't use him very often anymore?
Yeah.
And they use him, like, sparsely. He shows up in Detective Comics and says, hey, I'm still here, guys. Don't forget about me. I'm the Batman everybody forgot. It's like Dick Grayson people remember, but they remember me being Batman. It's the coolest thing Joe Quesada ever created, but hey. Don't worry about that. I'm pretty cool. Azrael, remember me, JeanPaulLaValle.com. But, sorry, I just went off on it. Like, if I was Jean-Paul LaValle, how I feel underappreciated in the Gothamite universe right now. Let's see, though. But it was really cool talking with Dustin, dude. It was like that. I went to his comic shop the day before because we just had Sunday passes.
Oh, okay.
And half my staff went on Saturday and Sunday. And then half of our staff just went to check out Frankensons.
Oh,
and
yes.
Then a comic shop called Comics, Tunes, and Toys.
That's right, in Tustin.
Yes, and I was noticing on their walls, like, they had 2 Comics, Tunes, and Toys, Best Wishes, Dustin Nguyen.
Oh.
And they had on, like, one of their walls, they had all these cool little prints signed by local creators that live in that area, which
was
awesome. I go,
very cool.
Kind of felt like that, dude, this is like, you know, me being a comic fan and a comic shop owner, this is the comic shop I'd want to shop at if I lived out here.
It's a great comic. That was the shop I shopped at when I lived in Orange County.
Dude,
yeah,
it's an amazing store
to check it out.
Everything feels homegrown there. The way
Absolutely.
They did their walls looked like it was all built by the owner.
Yep.
It feels like this is a guy that has passion. The way he did his bins looked like they're all homemade.
Sure.
I mean, it was like, wow, dude, this guy built almost like a, you know, settling, being an early comic book shop settler, like when you're doing the Oregon Trail. It's like, I'm going to build my homestead here, build everything from scratch, and this is going to be our family legacy that will pass on from generation to generation.
Right.
That's what that shop felt like to me. It's going,
wow.
Like, this shop is like very, very, attentive to detail, very welcoming, very kind of homegrown feeling.
Sure. And I really appreciated that. Colonial, basically.
Pretty much, dude. Yeah. I mean, I said too, I don't want to make it seem like they're old fashioned, but it was cool to feel like that. You can feel the passion and the pride and the humanity of the fact of like, hey, dude, I wanted to share the world of comics with you all.
Well, it's fun to go into comic book stores like that. You still have that vibe in your shop as well.
Thank you.
Because so many stores nowadays get rid of the back issues, mm-hmm. and they open up that space either for gaming or they just leave it open, period, because yes. they feel like the cluttered back issue boxes aren't what a mainstream reader or a new reader walking into the store. It's going to feel intimidating.
Well, that's
cave-like. Yes. You know, it was always cave-like, we described it. But, you know, to still have that inventory out and at the same time have this mainstream appeal, if you can pull that off, I think that's it's a magical thing, and it's a science of business too.
Yes.
That store does it very well. You
absolutely
do it well. Yeah. I'm glad you went to that store because again,
that was
cool. My shop, and so it's this interesting circle of life for me.
Yes.
Where I, you know, told mine, I remember going to Free Comic Book Days at that store.
Yep.
And waiting in small lines, and you know, you can only pick out 3 issues and all that good stuff. I think the owner, or at least somebody that worked there, loved The Thing.
Okay.
And he had an orange car with all these Thing stickers on the back. It was pretty cool.
Nice.
So, yeah.
So, like, that, the next day, I got a chance to bring that up to Dustin Nguyen. I go, hey, what comic shop do you shop at? And he goes, Comics, Tunes, and Toys.
Nice.
I go, that makes sense, because I saw your autograph on a print that said, hey, 2 Comics, Tunes, and Toys at their shop. And he goes, yeah, I love that shop. That's my shop I go to on a weekly basis. And I go, that's freaking awesome.
How cool
go,
is that? People
yeah.
that shop at that store could be standing right next to him and not even know.
Yes, and that's what's insane. That's what's really kind of cool, is the community of being in a creator community where these people are actually working on your favorite books.
Sure.
Is like a magical thing.
Absolutely.
And I hope people in LA and San Diego understand like that, how good they have it to
sure.
be a part of a community where Jim Lee will just show up in a comic shop and stand next to you and shop with you.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Or, like, I know Rob Liefeld goes out to Fat Collectibles a lot.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean? And does podcasts there, does
yeah.
things that, as much as sometimes Rob gets a bad rap on things, he's getting out there in his community
oh,
and
man.
Doing things that are kind of cool to still show, even though you may not always agree with his view sets or how he treats people or how, you know, sometimes there's bad,
bad juju there. Or
yeah,
something
like
that.
bad moments.
Okay.
Get me? Not making a bad person, but just inopportune moments.
Sure.
He still doesn't keep that from him going out there and giving back
to
his community.
Oh, the guy's a great spokesperson of the industry. I'm a fan of his without even seeing what he draws on the page. I just
yes.
like the idea of him. You know, so many people laugh at that jeans commercial.
Yes, I know, dude. Spike Lee.
Yeah.
Yes.
And to me, it's like, I wish more comic book artists did that kind of thing. Because
yes, it mainstreams.
It puts these guys in the category of celebrity.
Yes.
And this is what they should be. I mean, we know that the Russo brothers directed Avengers. In,
yes.
In Infinity War and Endgame. We know who. We know Jon Favreau started this whole thing. We know who some of the guys are behind the curtain.
Yes.
You know, and you want to talk about...
Jon Favreau shows up in his own movies.
Sure.
Like, that was great to see him at the end of Endgame.
And he's
going to
play a big
alert.
Role, it looks
yes.
like, in Spider-Man Far From Home as well, actually.
Yes.
That trailer dropped this morning.
Really?
It looks like he's going to play a big role.
Dude, he's so much fun. You can tell he has passion in doing it, too.
Oh, yeah. And what I'm
so
saying
likeable.
Here is that, like, if the guys that script and direct these superheroes on the screen can in and of themselves be celebrities,
mm-hmm.
the guys that have been scripting and drawing them, directing them, for lack of a better term, the choreography of them.
Yes.
These guys should be celebrities, too.
Absolutely.
And, you know, Stan Lee kind of paved the way for that
yes.
by being such a spokesperson for comics. A lot of people still debate who created what. But I would dare say that Stan Lee created the concept of comics as a source for stardom.
Yep.
A place and a genre that is as equivalent to film as anything else.
Yes.
Any other form of storytelling. And
we know who's seen. I'm really seeing take the baton now in a great way. Is with social media is Todd McFarlane.
McFarlane's doing it.
I mean, Todd is like doing art tutorials
sure.
almost every week, if not 2 to 3 times a week, teaching people his secrets of art.
Sure.
And in Todd, do you know what I mean too? This guy is, you know, one of the most recognized names in the comic industry.
Absolutely.
Taking that time just to go, hey, you know what? I'm going to share some of my talents with you guys. I'm going to sit there. Yeah, my tongue twisting. What we're going to do is we're going to show you how to draw eyes. Not the lazy way, the good way. And it's just, it's awesome. He'll sit there and just, you know, show you how to do some of the best that's ever been done
and
in a lot of people's
him.
Circles.
Phoenix can claim him, so.
Yes, I said too, Canadian transplant, go Alpha Flight again. And, you know, go Bret the Hitman Hart and go Todd McFarlane. You know what I mean? It's like that. Oh, don't forget Chris Jericho too, man. It's like that. Canada's great, but, you know, it's great to get some of this great talent down here and changing industries.
Sure.
And
sure.
Todd is one of those people. Another one, John Byrne, another great Canadian. Once again, going to my Canadian sympathizer rant here. John Candy, do you know what I mean? It's like that.
John Candy? What are you talking about?
Michael J. Fox. Let's go Pam Anderson. Let's throw out as many different Canadians as we can right now.
Right? Dan Aykroyd, Brian Adams, Celine Dion.
Nickelback, we're sorry.
Some of my favorites. My favorite Canadians right there. But seriously.
But they're in Todd McFarlane's in Arizona, which is a blessing
right
here.
And he's breaking down that fourth wall just like Stan did. And
yes.
I think these guys deserve that kind of celebrity credit. And so, again, Rob Liefeld's among them who has embraced a bit of the celebrity. I mean, that first Deadpool movie, you see Rob L. written on that Starbucks cup in the very first 30 seconds of the movie, and it's unabashedly owned by him, and I have zero problems with that. Yeah. I think that's exactly how every comic book artist needs to feel, from the indie level up to that level.
Well, it's like
of
watching their kids graduate high school.
Well, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like that, hey, it's like that, oh, my son like that. This is my familia and their ways.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? It's like that. Or your kid's wedding day type of thing. Things that are big event days for your creations.
Right.
And that's that too. It's like, and Stan Lee got to be part of not a million of them, but a lot of them. You know, he was part of every Marvel movie, which was great. And it's like that. It was like, hey, you know, Dad, come to our big event. You know what I mean? And he was there, which was great.
And there's an ongoing debate about, you know, again, Stan's viability as a quote-unquote creator. Did he create anything, or was it all Jack?
I think with
Kirby,
creators,
was
like,
it all Steve Ditko? But what I'm saying
is, there's usually two parents.
And had Ditko and Kirby been as outspoken as Stan, would we have the same debate? In other words, would we think Jack sold out if, in addition to drawing the thousands of pages he did, he also took an opportunity or two to appear on film? I just found out Jack Kirby was in an episode of the last Newhart show, Bob Newhart show.
Really?
Where he was a comic book illustrator himself.
So it was Bob Newhart, yeah.
Yeah, Newhart
was
played as
comic illustrator.
Yeah, that's what
that
I'm
show.
Saying. In that series,
Jack
Kirby
showed up in that
is hosting an award ceremony or something. He's in it very briefly, but he's in it.
Nice.
Now, if Kirby had been doing that throughout his career,
would he be
hailed as the king of comics? And this, there's an underdog element to him that makes it even more romantic to say he's my idol in comics. Yeah. But to me, he and Stan shared dual thrones in that. Would we know who Kirby is if Stan wasn't a meteor?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah. Well, if I don't know, I might be wrong if I went back in the history, but I would be pretty. I don't think I'd be pretty far off if I guess the person that came up with the term Jack the King Kirby was probably Stan Lee.
Yeah, I think that's the.
So giving him more or less that acknowledgement. Right.
Actually,
there.
I think it goes back a little further to, it might have been Marty Goodman himself.
Oh, Marty Goodman himself, okay.
I know that there was a story where Kirby was at the board drawing and he was just banging it out, and a publisher was walking around and saying, like, hail to the king about how many pages he can get done or something.
Yes.
And Jack didn't like it at the time. But
really?
Of course, Stan could probably care less about how Jack felt about it and just put it in there anyway, as he was nicknaming all those guys. As Stan gets a bad rap again from just bitter fans about how he doesn't give credit to these artists, but he was the guy that wanted to put their names on those pages.
Yes.
You know, I've never seen an interview with Stan where he didn't say he co-created
it. I know.
He
gave Kirby credit all the time, and if you think about it, too, who's higher on the rating, King or Man? You know, he was Stan the Man Lee, and then you have Jack the King Kirby. Do you know what I mean? It's like that. If you want to say there's not enough appreciation there, it's because the fans didn't appreciate him as much up to that point.
Ooh.
Do you know what I mean?
Ooh, are you putting the responsibility back into the hands of the fans for Kirby's underdog nature in the industry?
I don't want to be, do you know what I mean? If you want to call the accountability of Stan not giving Jack enough credit, the fans started more or less feel like after Kirby passed, or even towards the end there, that, like, dude, you know what? Stan gets all this credit. Stan's still alive. He's still going. His legacy was still going.
Right.
What if Stan died first and Jack still lived on?
Interesting.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like that after Jack was gone came all of this. Stan's getting all this praise. He's getting all these movies and blah, blah, blah.
Sure, sure.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And yes, they did have their arguments at times. And Jack wanted to prove that he didn't need Stan.
Right.
But Jack was there first.
Sure.
Do you know, Jack went away first, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Stan did stay in the spotlight even after Jack's death, after Jack got out of the spotlight.
Sure.
I've seen pictures of Jack Kirby back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Do you
sure.
know what I mean? It's
yeah.
like Jack Kirby is just as equal as Stan. In many ways.
In many ways.
Do you
yeah.
know what I mean?
And not
it's
as
like
far
that,
as being a household name, but certainly as far as...
There's just not as much imagery of Jack in
right.
the public eye.
Right.
Much.
And again, is that Stan's fault?
No, I hate saying it with all due respect.
Oh,
it could be, you know, people think that. But Stan didn't do it on purpose to keep Jack down.
Right.
If you want to talk about someone that kept someone down, talk Bob Kane and Bill Finger, and you got
sure.
an argument.
That's...
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
There's your argument. If there's someone you want to get mad at, get it bad at Bob Kane for telling Bill Finger you're not important to the creation
right.
of Batman.
For giving Bill
It was never just Stan Lee on anything. It was Stan and Jack.
Sure.
Everywhere.
Stan, Steve.
Just because Jack's a little bit more passive and Stan's more public eye doesn't mean that Jack's any less appreciated than Stan.
Very well put, my friend.
Just
Very
my
well
opinion.
Put.
No, do you
I
know what I mean?
Hey, as the guy that's organized Phoenix's only Jack Kirby birthday celebration for almost 5 years now.
Yes, and I love Jack Kirby.
I agree with you 100% that I hold them both in equal and high regard.
Yes.
And I don't think that Stan's spokesmanship makes him the antagonist for Jack's.
We just celebrated Jack Kirby's 100th birthday a couple years ago. He's
yeah.
been dead. Well, how many know the person? Hey, it was what birthday is Adam West on right now?
Well, Adam West passed too. So.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. It's like
oh,
that.
Okay.
Are we remembering like that? Are we going to do an Adam West Batman birthday
well,
celebration?
Fans of Adam might, but
like, no, because some people say Adam West did more for Batman than Bob Kane.
Sure, sure.
Do you know what I mean? And
yeah.
all due respect to Bob Kane and Bill Finger,
right?
But a lot of people recognize if you say okay. Do you know who's this Batman?
Yeah, who created Batman?
Yeah, and who's this? And who's this? Of different people like that. Here's a picture of Batman.
Sure.
Here's, you know, a picture of Adam West Batman. Here's a picture of Michael Keaton Batman.
Right.
Who are people going to know the most?
Well, nowadays that's hard to tell. I don't know. What are you saying? What's your argument?
I would still say that if people there's three different images of the Batman, you wouldn't be able to tell me that was Bob Kane that drew it.
Oh.
You wouldn't be able to tell me that's Michael Keaton in that suit, but you could tell me that's Adam West in the middle.
Okay, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I can see that.
And
sure.
that's just because I feel like that. And if you look at anything else that Adam West did, nothing's more famous than his Batman.
Oh, of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think anybody's looking back at his
career and saying, oh, yeah, I think...
Oh, was he in a Twilight Zone or something
yeah,
like
dude,
that
dude, it's
prior
like that.
To?
You know, that's his legacy. It's like, you know,
yeah.
Try to think of something else similar. It's like... I don't know if it's becoming Robert Downey Jr. and Iron Man. I don't think it is yet.
I don't think we're there yet, but you can look at William Shatner and Captain Kirk.
Yeah.
Shatner's done a lot of other things since then. T.J. Hooker and,
yes.
you know, he's hosted a lot of, you know, he's hosted a lot of shows and documentaries. He was in, was that Boston Legal?
Yes.
So he's done things outside of the sci-fi realm.
The Things
he's
My Dad Says.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
Show was, I love that show, and they canceled it way too
Absolutely.
Quick.
Absolutely. So
dude.
Yeah, he's dabbled in all this other stuff, but it's always going to circle back to Kirk for him. So that legacy
yes.
concept. And people know William Shatner way more than they know who Gene Roddenberry is.
But two
so.
Guys that are like two iconic characters.
Right.
I mean, Batman and Adam West being known as Batman.
Right.
I don't think any other artist or any other type of creator that's ever worked on Batman has that much connection with Batman.
Sure, I can see that.
Do you know what
yeah,
I mean? It's
I know
like
exactly
that. Kelly Jones, Dino.
Yeah, Norm Brayfogle.
Yeah, Norm
Jim
Brayfogle,
Aparo,
Jim Aparo.
Dick Sprang.
Yes.
Going forever here.
Yeah,
but.
Dude, but none of them have that same gravity of being being part of Batman.
Yeah.
As no other creator, I think, besides Adam West.
Speaking
it's kind
of which,
weird saying that.
You know, and I agree with you 100%, but let's end on this. You know
yes.
what I've realized my new pet peeve is as a collector, as a comic book and toy collector? They have these beautiful miniature Batman black and white statues
yes,
that have
those
come
are cool.
out.
Yes.
The package, you don't know what's inside. Yes, it's this new craze with the kids where they love the mystery pack.
Yeah, blind bags. That's like a pack blind of sports
bag. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Wow, if I were blind, I'd be offended. Blind
yes.
bag?
Yes, that horrible.
Instead of mystery bag?
Yeah, that's the nickname that a lot of people call them. Like
blind
that.
Bags. Yeah, well, I hate
you're
these.
You're going to blind, you don't know what's inside
yeah,
it.
Yeah, so you're telling yeah. me theoretically I could walk away with like 5 Dick Sprang Batmans, and I really just wanted the Cook Batman.
Yeah, Darwin Cook.
The Darwin
yeah.
Cook Batman. Unbelievable. Yeah, I was like, I saw a couple at Walmart.
Yes.
And so I was feeling inside the package, like, all right, let me see if I could feel which figure this is. I couldn't figure it out, and I was half tempted to open it right there in the aisle.
Yeah.
And if I didn't want it, I, you know, just open a little bit to see, you know, yes. okay, I don't
it's
want
like Christmas gifts.
yeah, but at least at Christmas, I've asked for things and yes. have the expectation that I'm getting those things. In this well, case, it was like,
parents. I'm not the dumb I wanted the Voltron, so no, I was kidding.
Instead, you got, Robot Assemblage Man.
Exactly.
From Japan.
I got a Hot Wheels and a picture of a Voltron.
stick that Hot Wheels on your foot and pretend you're Voltron.
Exactly. Dude. Tape these Hot Wheels cars together and make your own Voltron.
I just was so...
I was kidding. My parents were awesome. My parents were awesome. God rest my dad's soul. That's good.
I just wanted the Darwin Cook Batman. And yes. I'm like, I'm going to have to either wait and find it secondhand... Or take a gamble at $4 or $5 a pop every time.
They want
a
guarantee sellout.
Oh, my gosh.
That's the only thing I hate. It's like, that's a pack of, once again, it goes back to pack of sports cards. I want that Ken Griffey Jr. rookie.
Sure, it's like that.
Well, yeah, dude, it's really good. I got John Olerud. I got Greg Jeffries. I got Gary Sheffield. I got Nolan Ryan. I got Mark Langston. Oh, no, Ken Griffey Jr. Those other players are all good players.
Right.
It's just like that. Do you know what I mean? You didn't get the guy you wanted.
Yeah.
And they totally play up that whole philosophy.
Well, I don't care for it.
Yeah,
that's
no, I totally understand. I'm like, that's yeah, I'm not a big fan of him either because I remember doing that same thing
yeah.
as a kid. I'm going, dang, I stopped collecting sports cards because that as a kid.
Right.
Because like that, I know in the comic, I knew what I was buying.
You know what you're getting.
And each day was a different story.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And sports cards, I realized, oh, they're Sports Illustrated. There's newspapers.
Sure.
I can still study these stats is what more or less... You know, I get the picture of the player. Cool, dude. It's like, you know, big deal. I could go watch SportsCenter.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? But it was something that is their same philosophy. It's like that, hey, let's get the complete set.
Well, I just wanted to say that stinks. Let's wrap up this this episode here as we...
All right.
As we basically stay way too long here at the Bitsy Mamas here. Let's wrap it up. You can visit Drawn to Comics at drawntocomics.com or... at Drawn to Comics on Instagram. You could also check my stuff out at Amazing AZ Comics or online at AmazingArizonaComics.com. And that's where you could find our stuff. So feel free to check that out. My name is Russ.
My name's Ken.
And we are
Drawn to Comics.
Catch you next time, everybody.